lift your head, we'll be sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting there. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up.
And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. I hope you are doing well today on your drive home or wherever you may be. If you're listening to this live over at Joy 620, or if you are listening via podcast, you can find this at investinghope.com. You can find it on iTunes, wherever podcasts are found. You can listen to the archive and listen to old past shows as well. So we are certainly grateful that you're partnering with us, that you're listening to what we have to say. And we thank you for that. Today, I have a lot to talk about. We're gonna start with the heartbeat bill that passed in Georgia just this past week. The governor signed the bill, and we're gonna kind of go through some myths and some things that have been said about that bill that aren't true. We're gonna walk through that by an article that David French has over at National Review. Then we're going to turn and focus on Alyssa Milano. You're like, why are we talking about Alyssa Milano? Well, she hasn't acted in a while, but she does have a lot to say about issues. And this past weekend, she took time to speak out against or speak out for abortion. But in doing so, she made the case for abstinence. And so we're going to talk about that. We'll also look at this past weekend was Mother's Day. So we're going to talk about what that looks like in the pro-life, pro-choice argument and some of the things that were said around the Mother's Day holiday and what kind of the hypocrisy that comes with that. But we're going to start in Georgia. So last week I was not live. You may not know that. I was alive, but I was not live on this show. You may not know that because a rerun was played. But last week I was in Atlanta with my wife, and we were doing some shopping at the market. She has a small LLC, home decor business. And so we were down in Atlanta doing that. While I was in Atlanta, the heartbeat bill was being considered by the state legislature there in Georgia. And so I bring that up because when I turned the news on in the hotel and when we went down and ate breakfast in the lobby, we saw on the news a bunch of protesters protesting the heartbeat bill. My first reaction to that is it's interesting to me that you would find yourself in a place where you are protesting a bill that simply says when a heartbeat is present, life is present, and we need to protect that life. But we have a lot of folks that go out and protest and say we deserve the right to end that heartbeat. Think about that just for a second. Now, I know that when we get into these conversations, people are like, well, abortion is this, abortion is that, life begins here, life begins there. All I'm saying is we have a segment of the population and folks that fight hard with everything they have, and they spend their money fighting for the right to take away someone else's right, fighting for the right to take away a heartbeat. Even just this week, Planned Parenthood said that the language of this bill, of the heartbeat bills, are concerning, and they're trying to, let me find it. I'm looking for it on my phone so I can see exactly what they said. But here's what they said. Don't call six-week abortion bans, quote-unquote, heartbeat bills. Why? Because the biased language in these bills has no basis in medicine or reality. Their real goal is to ban abortion. That's what Planned Parenthood tweeted out 2 days ago. Well, here's the thing. First off, if you are arguing that my real goal is to ban abortion, you got me. You figured me out. That is my goal. And so I'm not running from that. Like, my goal and my mission is to see that abortion would be ended in this country. And I'm not going to apologize for that. But here's the thing. Over 300,000 heartbeats are ended inside of a Planned Parenthood clinic every single year. To be closer to the exact, 328,000 abortions occur inside of Planned Parenthood's on a yearly basis. So I'm sorry that you don't like the language that we use in the heartbeat bill when we say if a heartbeat is present, abortion should not be allowed. You see, because heartbeats are present in that abortion exam room, and after the abortion is done, the heartbeat is no longer present. Why? Because the heartbeat was stopped. So if that language of what happens in those abortion clinics makes you uncomfortable, well, I apologize. But it's not us that need to make the shift. It's the action that's occurring on those exam tables. And so what we found is last week, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, signed into law the heartbeat bill, what everybody's calling the heartbeat bill there in Georgia. You had a lot of people come out against it. You had Alyssa Milano and others come out against it and say, we can't believe this. You had Hollywood say, look, we're going to stop filming movies in Georgia until they stop passing legislation like this. So here's the thing. Why are they filming movies in Georgia? They're filming movies in Georgia because Hollywood and California, the taxes are too high. So they want to find a place where they can afford to film movies. But yet they want to go to those places, those conservative states, and they want to make them bow down to what they want them to do, which is, in this case, Hollywood is saying we need more abortions, not less. And so if you think boycotting Georgia and you're not going to film, if you think that's going to make pro-life advocates go, whoa, okay. Okay, we give up. Well, that's not going to happen. The governor signed the bill. But what we had is, then you had some people come out and say, this bill is going to arrest women that have abortions. It's going to prosecute them. It's going to prosecute women that have miscarriages. So you had a lot of myths. You had a lot of lies come out about this bill. So David French has a great piece over at National Review that I'm going to read through for you, because I think it's important that we see, as we see the headlines on social media, as we watch the news, as we read the headlines online that are saying what's going on in Georgia, it's important that we know exactly what this bill does. So last week, the governor, Brian Kemp, signed perhaps the most impressive and comprehensively pro-life heartbeat bill in the nation. The law, set to go in effect in 2020, not only bans abortion when the baby has a detectable human heartbeat, it declares the scientific, philosophical, and theological truth that an unborn child is, quote, a natural person, end quote, under state law. The law, like other state heartbeat bills, defies controlling Supreme Court authority and expect pro-abortion advocates to immediately challenge it into court. And then David French says, I expected activist resistance and protests against the bill. I expected radical voices to urge corporate boycotts of Georgia. But I must confess, I did not expect to see a series of stories with lurid headlines and fundamentally mistaken premises to go viral and to stay viral for days. Here's a sampling. Business Insider, their headline said women could get up to 30 years in prison for having a miscarriage under Georgia's harsh new abortion law. Slate said this, Georgia just criminalized abortion. Women who terminate their pregnancies would receive life in prison. The Week, their headline said this, Georgia's heartbeat abortion bill could imprison women for life. Glamour said women who have an abortion in Georgia could be sentenced to life in prison. The stories are viral in part because they rely on facially plausible reasoning. Since Georgia declared all unborn children to be natural persons, then, according to these articles, Georgia's conventional murder statute must apply to women who, quote-unquote, self-terminate. If the woman has a miscarriage in part through her own neglect, then Georgia's second-degree murder statute applies. If a person helps another person obtain an abortion across state lines, then they're guilty of quote-unquote conspiracy under Georgia's statutes. But this is fundamentally wrong. This is not the case with this bill. The heartbeat bill did not repeal a number of Georgia criminal statutes that explicitly apply to abortions and unborn children. And it does not overrule controlling legal authority holding that these statutes bar prosecution of a woman for terminating her own pregnancy. So let's walk through these statutes and the key case. First, there is a specific code section that applies to unlawful abortions. Georgia Code Section 16-12-140 states, a person commits the offense of criminal abortion when, in violation of Code Section 16-12-141, he or she administers any medicine, drugs, or other substance, whatever, to any woman, or when he or she uses any instrument or other means, whatever, upon any woman with intent to produce a miscarriage or abortion. And then it says further, a person convicted of the offense of criminal abortion shall be punished by imprisonment for not less than 1 nor more than 10 years. Code Section 612.141 is the exact section that was amended to include the heartbeat provision. If a person performs an abortion in violation of the heartbeat bill, then Code Section 1612.140 applies. It does not impose life imprisonment on anybody. And Georgia courts have held that it does not apply to a woman who self-terminates, only to third parties who perform an abortion. In Hillman v. State, the Court of Appeals of Georgia rejected the prosecution's effort to imprison a woman who shot herself in the stomach to kill her unborn child. Interpreting Section 1612.140, it said, quote, "The statute is written in the third person, clearly indicating that at least two actors must be involved," end quote. Accordingly, it does not criminalize a pregnant woman's actions in securing an abortion, regardless of the means utilized. Second, the Georgia Code section that criminalizes this, such as when a man attacks a woman for the purpose of killing her unborn baby, specifically states that nothing in the code section will be construed to permit the prosecution of any woman to her unborn child. So all of this is ultimately saying, this is how David French ends up. That's a far, far cry from the headlines above. The truth isn't stopping the falsehood from rocketing around social media. Twitter is full of claims that Georgia wants to throw women in jail for life. But now you know these claims are false. Georgia law is clear. While abortionists can be prosecuted for performing unlawful abortions, an attacker can spend the rest of his life in jail for killing a woman's unborn child. Georgia's heartbeat bill cannot be used to prosecute a woman for ending her own pregnancy. So facts matter, especially when we're talking about legislation. Facts do matter. Now you can be against the bill as it is written. You can be against the bill that says when a heartbeat is present, abortion can occur. You can be against the bill, but there's no reason to fight against the bill with lies and smears and untruths. And so what we found even this week is we found someone for Planned Parenthood come out and say that actually is employed by Planned Parenthood and said, look, this law, we disagree with this law, but this law does not risk imprisoning a woman that gets an abortion or a woman that has a miscarriage. Those are just not true statements. And so be careful when you're reading these headlines, when you're sifting through your news feed, because it's important what we take in and it's important what we know to be true. We'll talk more when we come back. So as we have this this conversation today, the first segment we looked at the heartbeat bill in Georgia, and I know I kind of read through that piece by David French fast, but I would encourage you to go to National Review and take a look at it yourself. Again, it's important when legislation is passed and signed by the governor. I get it. There it's not great reading. You don't go, man, I cannot wait to read this new bill. It's going to be so much fun. No, it's not. But what we need to do is be honest about it. What we can't do is put out false information and make the headlines say one thing when it's just not the truth. And so making an argument that you disagree with the bill on the basis of what the bill says is one thing. Making an argument that you disagree with the bill on things that you make up is a whole different can of worms. But I would encourage you to go look at that article and know that what this means is there are states across the country that are making moves and pointing us in a direction to get us to a place where maybe the Supreme Court will actually look at Roe v. Wade. And maybe, who knows, we see a day where it's overturned. Right now, I want to shift and look at something that Alyssa Milano said over the weekend. And I get it. Why am I talking about Alyssa Milano? Why are we spending any time on that? Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. She took time to fly to Georgia. She took time to have rallies and to speak out against heartbeat bills and to speak out against pro-life legislation. She took time to speak out against Vice President Pence and his rule of not going out to dinner with women that aren't his wife. And she took time to speak out against on all of these things and to say how bad pro-lifers are and that we're extremists and we're hateful and we don't really love people. Well, over the weekend, she tweeted this, and I thought it was interesting. And I say over the weekend, maybe it was Monday. It was at some point, May 10th, whenever that was. She said, our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. And then she said, join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. And then she said, I'm calling for a hashtag sex strike. And then she said, pass it on. Okay, here's the thing. Yeah, that's what pro-lifers have been screaming for. And actually, I tweeted Alyssa and I said, why don't you take it a little bit further and make the case and argue that you should only have sex with the person you're married to? How about that? Because she's making the case, the pro-life case, that, yeah, pregnancy occurs when sexual intercourse occurs. It can. It doesn't all the time, but it can. Certainly, that's how babies are made. And so it would be better to not just flippantly do it. It would probably be better to be abstinent until you get married, and until you think through it. And so she's calling for this, and what we found is a lot of pro-lifers have come out and said, yeah, thank you, we would agree with you on this, that pregnancy is serious, that lives are serious, and that you do, in fact, have a risk of getting pregnant if you're having sex outside of marriage. Even when you're married, you have the risk of getting pregnant. And so why don't we think through this a little bit more? So all these years, I was made fun of. I was picked on for saying, look, I'm going to wait till I get married. That sex is something that God created for a husband and his wife. I had friends that did it, that waited. I know other people that waited and made that decision. I wore the True Love Waits ring. I had people, friends my age, mock and laugh at me. I got married when I was 22 years old. We had our first child when I was 26, and now we have 4 children. We thought through all of those things. And so abstinence is the only. This is the thing that when you hear people say, well, abstinence education doesn't need to be taught in schools. It doesn't work. Well, actually, the only thing that works 100% of the time to prevent STDs and to prevent pregnancy, the only thing that works 100% of the time is abstinence. That's it. Birth control isn't that effective. I mean, for that matter, the folks that use abortion as birth control, that's not always 100% effective. But you know what is? Abstinence. And the people are like, well, that's way too difficult. You're asking way too much of people. Well, are we? Are we? We make choices. And so those choices have impact and make an impact on our life. And they have ramifications. They have consequences. But it's interesting to me, there was somebody else, another abortion advocate came out over the weekend and said, well, if pro-lifers are going to take this stance, then I think pregnant women should have 2 votes. Well, let's go deeper with that. Why should they have 2 votes? Because there's a life inside of them that's not of their own? You see, the logic of this is plain and out in front. There's nothing confusing about it. When pregnancy occurs, when a heartbeat is present, when there is life. I saw another abortion advocate send out a message saying that, well, if you're going to do this, then men also should be required not to leave and abandon their children. Yes. Okay. Men should step up and take responsibility. I can get behind that. It ultimately comes down to, again, and I've said this over and over and over, if we believe it's life in the womb, and we're going to fight for that, and we're going to seek to protect that life. I had conversations today with representatives about a particular issue concerning life and concerning DCS and concerning the work of the system and how we go about it. Why? Because I'm passionate not just about the baby in the womb, but the mom carrying that child. But here's the thing. when we make these statements, when we boldly proclaim that we want to see abortion ended in this country, we're called extremists, right-wing nut jobs, religious zealots. You hate women. Oh, that's the patriarchy again, coming in and ruling. We can't have a bunch of men making the decision on the Supreme Court whether abortion is okay or not. But they fail to realize that it was men in 1973 that gave us Roe v. Wade to begin with. But I'm called a religious zealot. I'm called a extremist. But the people protesting the heartbeat bill in Georgia and marching for the right to end someone else's heartbeat, what are they called? They're called champions. They're called the women's movement. Look, I have three daughters. And I pray they never find themselves in a situation where they're pregnant at a young age and a man walks out on them. And a boy walks out of them. A man won't walk out, but a boy will. I pray they're never in that situation. But here's the thing. If they are in that situation, they know they have a support system with mom and dad. And I get it. You're going to hear that and you're going to say, well, what about those girls that don't have that support system? That's a terrible situation. I agree. But none of those situations gives us the right to end someone else's life. A unique human being, never before created, to never be created again. We do not have the right to end that heartbeat. And that's tough. That's a tough conversation. I get it. But it's hard to have a conversation when I hear some folks say, look, no one is pro-abortion. And then when I see other folks come out and their comments don't line up with that. The abortion industry's comments do not line up with no one is pro-abortion. Because all they talk about is fighting for the right to end the life of the baby in the womb. Even on Mother's Day, multiple tweets by the abortion industry, multiple social media posts, multiple articles written saying, Happy Mother's Day. Here's to the fight for our rights to end the life inside of us. You think that's a okay strategy? That's not extreme? Folks, we're at a really interesting place in our society, in our culture. And there will be a day. History is going to look back. And I can promise you that currently we are on the wrong side of this issue. The same way I look back and go, how in the world could my ancestors, how in the world could people in this country ever enslave anyone? How could my generations before me say that certain people with certain colors of skin could only use one bathroom, but they couldn't use another? They could only ride in this part of the bus, but not in another. Just like I look back and go, that's insane. Generations from now are going to look back and go, how in the world did they allow for 1 million abortions every single year in the greatest country the planet had ever seen? Hallelujah. So there's a lot of myths out there concerning the pro-life movement, concerning pregnancy centers, and today we're just kind of focusing on some of those. So the first segment we talked about the myths of the heartbeat bill that were coming out, the lies that were being spread about the bill out of Georgia, and then we just got through talking about pro-life pro-choice advocates in the abortion industry starting to miss the irony in some of the things that they're saying when they're calling for a quote unquote sex strike and these things, when they're calling for abstinence, when they're making our arguments for us, that they're actually saying, look, there's a risk of getting pregnant here and we don't need to risk that. Well, yeah, that's what we've been saying. Abstinence is the way to go. Sex was made for a purpose between a husband and wife within marriage. And it continued over the weekend. There was just a lot of conversations going on. Matthew Dowd, who is a he's a political analyst for ABC News. He said this, and I thought it was interesting. He said some advice to the, and it's interesting when they call us this. So we call ourselves the pro-life movement. They like to call us the anti-abortion movement, but for some reason when we call them the pro-abortion movement, we're told that no one is pro-abortion, but so be it. I don't mind being called anti-abortion. If one day the generations look back and they go, Andrew Wood in 2019, director of Hope Resource Center, was anti-abortion, then I did my job. If my kids look back and they say, hey, describe your dad, and they say, well, he loved Jesus, he loved us, and he was anti-abortion, and he did everything he could to see abortion ended in this country, I'm okay with that. So I don't mind being called anti-abortion, but they always do this. So Matthew Dowd said, some advice to the anti-abortion, and then he did, in quotes, pro-life crowd. You might be taken more seriously on your, quote-unquote, life stance if you would support increased funding for health care, a living wage, common sense gun reform, and aiding refugees. But again, first off, it's interesting to me that that's the argument that is made, that you can't be pro-life and then not be outspoken on those other topics. That we don't do that with any other topics. And so when it comes to immigration, if someone is for open borders, we don't then look at them and say, well, you must have all your doors unlocked. You must remove all the walls from your house. Well, no, that wouldn't make any sense. But that's what they're doing here, is they're saying the anti-abortion crowd isn't doing enough for the vulnerable. Well, I would argue the pro-life crowd does more for the vulnerable populations in this country than any other crowd. Close to 3,000 pregnancies in this country work tirelessly every single day with little to no recognition to love and serve moms, dads, and babies facing difficult situations. And so I take offense to someone saying we're not doing enough for the vulnerable. You don't think we're doing enough for the vulnerable? Come visit us at Hope Resource Center. Come sit down with nurses that were sobbing today after meeting with a patient. That take this home and sob and weep for choices and decisions that are made, for situations that patients find themselves in, for abuse and addiction that these patients find themselves in. You want to argue the pro-life crowd isn't doing enough? Who do you think's donating and helping refugees? The church, the pro-life crowd. Who do you think's adopting? Who do you think's fostering children? The pro-life crowd. Who do you think's taking care of young moms that are facing unplanned pregnancies? The pro-life crowd. When you say, well, all you care about is baby, you don't care about anything once baby's born, who do you think's taking care of mom and baby after baby's born? The pro-life crowd. And so we can all get on our high horse and run to our political corner and scream, so-and-so's not doing enough, so therefore we're not going to take you, we're not going to see that you're a credible person. Or we can actually look at what you're doing. We can look at the fruit of what you're doing. Let's do that. Just the other day, they ran a report to see the 20-plus candidates that are running currently on the Democratic ticket. And they pulled their tax returns and they said, who's giving to charity? How much are they giving to charity? Do you know how much they were giving? all of them mostly are millionaires. Most of them are making over $300,000 a year. Not one of them were even giving 10% of their income to charity. Not one. Most of them were giving less than 3% of their income to charity. So here's the thing. You want to talk about credibility? Well, when you say my taxes should be higher, but you refuse to pay more taxes yourself, I'm not going to take you too credible. When you say women are strong and women are powerful, but you don't think a woman can have her baby and her dreams, I'm not going to take your word for it. When you tell me that life inside the womb is actually not life, but some kind of blob or something, well, I'm sorry, that's anti-science and that's just not true. And so, yeah, I take offense when people say the pro-life crowd's not doing enough. I go to conferences every year with pregnancy center folks, and there are men and women that have been serving in pregnancy centers for longer than I've been on this earth. And you're going to tell me they're not doing enough? There are men and women that have taken off the streets young women that are pregnant and given them shelter, paid for their medical expenses, taken care of their children, got them into somewhere where they can find help with their addiction, got them out of abusive relationships. So don't say we're not doing enough if you haven't ever really interacted with someone in the pro-life movement. Now, are there members of the pro-life movement that are more screaming than action? Sure. There are folks out there that just like to be a talking head and don't really do anything. They're not giving to charity. They're not giving to the church. They're not partnering with pregnancy centers. They're not out there doing anything. There are some of those. But guess what? There's some of those on every side. But the pro-life movement that I'm a part of, the pro-life organization that I'm a part of, is made up of people that sacrifice time, that sacrifice money, that sacrifice better careers, because they believe that life is valuable. And they believe that it's worth it. You know why there's people standing outside of abortion clinics? You know why there's people that are protesting? You know why there's people that post graphic pictures, even though we may not always line up? You know why there's pro-life organizations that are seeking for pro-life legislation? Do you know why all that happens and occurs? It happens and occurs because we believe fully, without a doubt, that there is a individual, unique human life inside the womb. You see, we put all of our effort in. We put all of that time in, all of those prayers, all of that money. We put all of that work in to give more rights to humans and to stand for the vulnerable. The abortion industry puts all their time, all their effort, all their money into take away rights from an individual human and to see that human's heartbeat ended. Now you tell me which one's the extreme position. So you can call me anti-abortion. I have no issue with that. But I'm just going to say, if you start using language like that, then don't get upset when someone then says you are pro-abortion. But look, regardless of what these headlines say, regardless of what protests occur, we're going to get up in the morning, we're going to open up the doors of Hope Resource Center, we're going to serve our patients well, we're going to love them, we're going to walk them through the options that are in front of them, and we're going to serve them the way they should be served. We're going to treat them the way they should be treated. And guess what? We're not going to make a single penny off of them. We're not going to take a penny out of their bank account. But I ask this. Can the abortion clinic say the same thing? No, they can't. They're making millions off the backs of the most vulnerable in our society. We'll be back. Save my soul. You know, it's interesting. Even as I've been talking today, I just pulled up and NARAL, which is the big abortion proponent, they just tweeted, this is not a drill. Their goal, meaning the pro-lifers, is not just to outlaw abortion in certain states. It's to outlaw it everywhere. Yep. Yeah, I don't know why that's a surprise. That is our goal. That is the goal. It is to, I mean, we say it all the time. Not just to be illegal, but to be unthinkable in this society. And so, yeah, you got me. You got me. We want to see it outlawed in every state. That is, Roe v. Wade being overturned would not do that. But that is the goal. Yeah, that we're not hiding from that. I don't know of any pro-life organization hiding from that fact. The March for Life, the Right to Life, pregnancy centers. Like, we want to see abortion ended. And we are going to, I don't know how else to say it. Like, that's what we want to see. And we're going to do everything we can to serve women in need. And hopefully in that service, we do see a day where society would say, yeah, abortion is not the thing that we need to do as a civilized nation. So if you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can at investinghope.com. You want to listen to this show. Maybe you just tune in and you tune in late and you want to hear the rest of it. We'll have it up on podcast sometime tomorrow. You can find that at investinghope.com. You can also look iTunes, Google Play, the TuneIn app, wherever podcasts are found, you should be able to find this show. But if you run into any hiccups, just go to investinghope.com and you can find it there. So we are certainly excited. One thing I do want to point out, last Thursday we had a Mother's Day brunch for our patients, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event. We had it out at Calvary Chapel over off John Sevier Highway, and just a wonderful, wonderful time of celebrating these moms, patients of ours that are currently in class, patients that were in class 2 years ago, and just seeing them come out together and in that community was really awesome. So thank you to Calvary Chapel. Thank you to Scramble Jake's. They provided the food. Thank you. There was a lot of folks that helped out to make that day possible, providing gift cards and loving on these moms, and we are certainly grateful for that. I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day as well. We are just honored to be able to serve and love these patients like we do. So thank you for making that possible. One thing I do want to point out too is last week we partnered with another radio station. I know that we listen to this show. If you listened live, we are on Joy 620. We're certainly grateful for all the folks at Joy 620. But the other day, another radio station reached out, and they did a radiothon for us in partnership with seven other pregnancy centers. And their listening audience was over in the north, in the Carolinas as well as East Tennessee. And they raised over, listen to this number, $313,000 for seven pregnancy centers. And so because of the folks that gave to that, we are going to get close to $46,000 at Hope Resource Center to serve the women that come in our doors. And we are certainly grateful for that. As part of that, that fundraiser, Shoreline Church donated $5,000 as a challenge gift. Randy Boyd and his wife Jenny donated $5,000 as a challenge gift. So they were donating to encourage and challenge other people to donate. And we are certainly grateful for that. And God continues to show up in amazing ways. And what that allows us to do, hear me. You know, when I talk about the abortion industry and I talk about the amount of money that they make, they're getting money from not only the government funds, not only from donors, and that's all one thing, but they're also charging the women that are coming in their doors. They're charging them for their pregnancy test. They're charging them for the STD test. They're charging them for the well woman visit. They're charging them for the abortion. They're charging them for the ultrasound. But at Hope Resource Center, they're not getting charged for anything. Why? Because we have partners in this city and around this country that say, we want to step up. We want to stand in. We want to remove those obstacles. If these patients have financial issues and burdens, we want to remove those burdens and obstacles so that they can get the care that they need. And that's because of people like you. So I get worked up and I get riled up about all that's being said and all that's being done. But I will tell you this, I am consistently blown away at the support that we receive from this city and folks around this state and around this country that say, we want to stand with these women. We want to stand for these babies. Had church reach out to me just the other day and say, look, we're doing a kingdom gift from our church, and we're going to give you $8,000. Folks, people are hearing about what's going on. People are getting off their off the sideline and getting into the action and engaging in the process. And what's happening because of that is women are being saved, women are being loved, and babies are being saved, and babies are being loved. Redemption is occurring. Freedom is occurring. Love is showing up. The gospel is being shared. And it's a beautiful thing. That is why we are pro-life. Yeah, I want abortion to be ended. But until that day comes, we have work to do. Let's go out and love our neighbor. Let's serve well. Let's point them to what their identity should be in, and that's in Christ. And understand that that's a unique life inside of them. And that they can, in fact, have their baby and their dreams. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. We'll talk to you next week.